The Ministry of Risen Motherhood is funded by our generous donors. If you like this podcast, please consider joining them at risenmotherhood.com/give.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura, and I have my sister-in-law, Emily, here.
Hey, guys.
And I think the first thing we want to talk about is that we released the cover of our book.
Woohoo!
Yeah, it was so crazy. It was so fun to be able to share the cover with all of you guys. And just the response that you gave was unbelievably overwhelming, humbling, so generous.
Yeah, it was really fun because it's been obviously a project we've spent almost 2 years working on in some form or fashion.
Like privately kind of, or like in secret it almost feels.
Yes. So it was really just a joy to be able to reveal just the look and feel of the book, and hopefully there'll be more sneak peeks to come. But if you haven't seen it, definitely go to our website, risenmotherhood.com/book, and you can see the cover and find out how to pre-order and find another really exciting thing that we created recently.
Oh, you're talking about our little printables.
Yes.
Yes. So something people were asking us is like, hey, is it going to be ready in time for Mother's Day? And unfortunately, our book actually doesn't release until September 3rd of this year. But we created a little card so that if you want to get this, maybe your husband wants to get it for you, or you want to get it for a friend or for a baby shower gift, we created these little cards that says, hey, guess what? I got you the Risen Motherhood book and it is on its way to you on the day that it releases. It'll be in your mailbox. So super fun. You can print them for free and stick them in a card just if you want to pre-order the book now and tell someone, hey, this book is coming. It's a huge blessing to us as well because pre-orders actually help the book get in front of more and more people.
Yes, and that's our heart.
Yes.
Like, we want this to get in front of moms who are weary and tired and stressed out and maybe annoyed, like what we're talking about today. And they need the hope of the gospel. And it's just a joy to be able to be on a shelf where a mom may be shopping and she sees that and grabs it. Or maybe she's on Amazon and it's kind of in that recommended section
and
she clicks on it and puts it in her cart. So we want it to get to moms right where they're at, and pre-orders really helps us do
that. Yeah, that's what book distributors and different carriers, I'm not sure what you call them, book distributors are looking at as to whether they're going to carry the book or how many of the books they're going to carry or who they're going to show it to. So like Em said, our hope is that we have a mom who's never heard of Risen Motherhood and she sees the cover of the book and she's like, reads the back and it's like, wow, this sounds okay. Maybe I'll check this out. I don't know. And inside is the hope of the gospel that, you know, we just pray that God uses it in her hearts because it's not us. It's not our words. It would be the Lord using it. But we just appreciate your guys' support. We're so grateful for you. We would not be here. We wouldn't even have a book deal without you guys. So thank you so, so much. We are really grateful to you guys.
Yes. All right. Speaking of motherhood and risen motherhood, we're going to jump into today's show. And as we kind of launch off, we wanted to start by just acknowledging that motherhood is a gift.
I think totally.
Sometimes we don't acknowledge that enough.
Yeah. Especially in a show like today.
Because we are so in the trenches and we are dealing with kind of the struggles. And really, as we're presenting the good news to you, we spend a lot of time talking about the bad news or the hard things about life as we experience it. But motherhood is a joy and a blessing. And it's something that, like, many of us, Laura and I included, spent years of our lives like hoping for and looking forward to is this season when we actually have children.
Yeah, this show is not meant to minimize the fact that motherhood isn't like a good or a wonderful thing. Motherhood is designed by God for us to be able to be life givers to adopted children, biological children. But still, you know, there's this thing that because of the fall, because of sin, there are still hard days when this overwhelming feeling of annoyance kind of seems to sneak up on us.
Yeah, so I think being annoyed as a mom, it's similar to anger. That was kind of the topic that Laura and I kept going back to as we were talking about this show. It's similar to anger, but a lot of times it's not quite there yet. It doesn't seem like that bad, you know, for us to say, oh, I'm just feeling really angry right now. It kind of feels powerful and intense, but it's a little easier to just say, you know, I'm just kind of feeling annoyed. Or
yeah, like you just, you can say it and not get in trouble with anybody, right? You can be annoyed and people are like, mm-hmm, that's fine. Oh, girl, you deserve to be annoyed, you know?
Right. It's just a sense of like, oh, I'm kind of feeling impatient or I'm feeling a little irritated, or it's kind of like the stress meter is rising a little bit, but we're not to that point where we just would say to somebody, yeah, I feel just flat out angry. Like, yeah. It's just, nope, I'm just a little bothered right now.
Which is like kind of okay, you know? So we looked up, what does it actually mean to annoy on Webster? And it was some interesting definitions. The first one was just to disturb or irritate, especially repeated acts.
Oh, well, that doesn't sound like children at all.
I have one kiddo who loves to talk about what we're eating and know what we're eating, and we eat at minimum 3 times a day. And so it just drives me bonkers, all of the discussion around food and what we're going to have and if we're going to have the same thing every single day. And if there is one thing that annoys me, it is having to repeat myself due to my child's repeated acts.
Which is interesting because I feel like children are hardwired to love repetition.
They love it. That's so true.
Yeah, and to love like the routine and to love like this consistency. And so whereas a mom, we feel like, oh, I said it one time.
Right.
That's enough.
Remember. Forever, child.
Yeah, they love, like, no, I want to hear it again. I want to hear it again. Yep. It's comforting.
What are we
to
doing
me.
Today? The why, all of those things.
Yeah. So another part of the definition of to annoy is like to harass, especially by brief attacks, which sounds funny, but I mean, who among us actually does kind of get kind of attacked by our children? Or I know lately we have kind of a How to Train Your Dragon
thing that's going hot in my house. Yeah.
In our house right now, so our three oldest boys are regularly behaving like dragons. Mm-hmm. And they're just acting like kids, which is all fine. You know, they're breathing fire at each other. They've, you know, got their little arms stuck out funny like little dragon wings. But yeah, it really bothers me when somebody barrels into me while I'm trying to carry laundry to the other room and like nearly knocks me over as they're pretending to be a dragon. Like, those things do get annoying, even though it's really just children acting like children.
Exactly. So I think all of you guys can think of times when you have experienced these things. And in general, I think it's fair to say that being annoyed as a mom, sometimes it feels like you're kind of in this constant state of being annoyed. And sometimes it just pops up every once in a while, mm-hmm. but it happens to all moms is the point. And it might depend on a lot of things like kind of what season you're in, your mm-hmm. kids' ages and their life stage, where your kids are spending the most of their time. Maybe they are in daycare and you have less time with them, or maybe you're home with them all day. I don't know, winter versus summer seasons. For me, winter is just a little bit more annoying.
Uh-huh. Yeah, definitely all of the noise level in the house, depending on the time of year. I think also some of what we're consuming as a family, whether it's, you know, certain types of media or screen time or books versus, you know, consuming scriptural things or talking about things that are truthful, kind of that what goes in is sometimes what comes out. Yeah. So if you're putting How to Train Your Dragon in, How to Train Your Dragon might come out.
We have solved your annoying problems.
There you go. That's why they're running around acting like that.
But what's some gospel hope for this situation? So I feel like we're going to kind of kick it old school and go through creation, fall, redemption, consummation for you guys. We haven't done it in the past couple of episodes. We've done the gospel, of course, of course, but not in as traditional way. But we want to do that today for you.
Yeah. So when we look back at just God's design for the world and his design for mankind is that everything functioned as it should. So things made sense, you know, cause and effect, you know, kind of sowing seeds would have yielded good fruit. And this work and labor that Adam and Eve kind of put their hands to and their minds to would have been profitable. And the world wouldn't have been naturally, even though they were going to subdue the world, it wasn't pushing against them as we experience it now.
Yeah, I think many of like the daily annoyances that we experience weren't in Eden. You know, they would have, like Emily said, planted a seed and there is fruit rather than dying or getting gnats like my fiddly fig tree recently. Their bodies never really struggled with those back aches or bruises or blisters or stubbed their toe on those IKEA high chairs with those really wide legs.
Yeah, I think essentially, you know, their hearts would have been in this state of worship and focusing on the purpose that God had for them and knowing that God is God, and they are just there on earth to carry out the creation mandate that God gave them. But we know that not everything stayed that way.
They rebelled. So now, because of the fall, life really is full of true annoyances. Things are broken, and so there are some things that we're annoyed by that are truly outside of our control. So it's annoying when our produce rots too fast and we have to go to the store. Our backs hurt when we're pregnant, when we get bitten by mosquitoes, when we were planning on a lovely hike on a Sunday afternoon as a family. It's annoying to spend hours on the phone fighting insurance to pay for our child's medical needs. It's annoying to be in traffic. We could go on and on.
The sink is clogged. There's things like that that just kind of feels like
it's just life.
No matter where you go or what you do, things happen that feel like, man, I've got to deal with this frustrating thing.
Right. But how we respond to those annoying things is within our control. But because of the fall, our natural inclinations are to respond in a way that maybe self-justifies. So I know I can often think to myself, well, being asked a question a million times a day is actually annoying. So anyone in their right mind would be annoyed by this.
Yeah, another thing we do is self-protect. And it's kind of that feeling like, well, if my children hadn't done this, then I wouldn't be so impatient or unkind. And maybe we even like withdraw from a situation because something is annoying and we don't want to be around that feeling.
Yeah, we can kind of self-soothe in those moments thinking, oh, I deserve to be treated so much better. And I do all of this. I'm slaving away to serve my family. Why can't people see that and just appreciate it? It's functionally a nice little pity party that we're throwing.
Right. And so in Proverbs 12:16, there's this verse about annoyance that says, fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. So when we're thinking about this concept of annoyance and overlooking an insult, I think the reality is, as moms, like, yeah, we're all going to be annoyed by things at various times. Sometimes it's our kids just acting like kids, and sometimes it's just part of the fallen world that we live in, and we kind of have this sigh and wish things weren't as they are. But the prudent is able to experience that kind of annoyed feeling and turn to the Lord, which we're going to talk about more, and deal with that in a godly way. But the fool is going to immediately or soon after kind of express that annoyance, and it's going to give birth to sin in the way that we treat other people, in the way that we maybe make demands or try to kind of self-preserve. So we'll get into some of this more, but we thought that verse just kind of showed the difference between handling a normal annoyance in a way that turns to Christ and handling an annoyance in a way that probably hurts others.
Yeah, exactly. And as Emily said, it can often lead towards sin, but that's why Christ came to die. You know, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Like, we all struggle with this. But one area that I especially take a lot of great hope in with this is that when I think of annoyance, I often think the opposite feels like patience or long suffering. And we can look to the Lord and see places all over in the Bible where God has revealed absolute perfect patience. The first example, just think of the Old Testament with the Israelites. I mean, who hasn't read those stories and thought how annoying the Israelites must have been? Yet how patient God was with them and how often he just repeated himself over and over again, telling them about his love and his good deeds and his mercy and his kindness. But they constantly forgot and complained, but God was willing to come back to them and repeat himself. And he showed up for them over and over again, caring for a very, very annoying and ungrateful people. Exodus 34:6, he is a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.
Very different from the way we often respond.
Oh man, I need a little of that. Yeah.
And it's interesting, even in the New Testament, we think about Christ coming, and here he is coming to save his people, and he's fulfilling all of these things that the prophets had said about him and all the things that had pointed to him up into that point. But people don't even notice, you know, they're just kind of chasing him around and constantly asking for miracles, or they're trying to put him in a position where, oh, maybe we're going to get a question that Jesus can't answer, or they're misunderstanding his intentions, and they're kind of trying to corner him or
just generally be really annoying.
Yeah. Like, it was, I'm sure, like, he had a lot of times where I was reading this morning in Hebrews, it talks about how Jesus was tempted in all the ways that we were tempted, and yet he resisted temptation, even to the point of death on the cross. And so that is an example for us, and he does it on our behalf so that we can be in these situations and see his perfect record for us.
Yeah, and all of this flows into today. You know, this isn't just in the Bible times. Again, think of all the opportunities that Christ has to be annoyed with us as we still, we're in, we're out, we're saying yes, we're saying no, we're hot, we're cold with the Lord. You know, I did my quiet time today, I didn't do it today, I didn't do it for the right motives, I did do it for the wrong motives. I don't know, all of these things. But Christ is continually so patient with us as our hearts are way worse than some of our toddler's outward behavior that we're struggling with.
Yeah, that's always a really sobering thought. Seriously. Is it when you think about your child and some of their behaviors and then we realize, wow, I treat the Lord that way all the time. Yeah. But I think one thing to look ahead to is in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." And so as we are dealing with these annoyances in our lives, God is patiently hoping that and that these draw us to him, that we turn to him in the fallen world as we come up against things that are a struggle for us or frustrating to us, that we would repent and turn to Christ.
Yeah, it's a great chance for seeing it as sanctification. As mothers, it's just really challenging to see the patience of God with a very, very annoying people. And so, like Emily said, you know, we may be annoyed by childless behavior in motherhood, but because we have Christ in us, we can model him and have godly response toward different things that are not as fun in our life, particularly those annoying things. So we want to talk through a few practical things. If you are going through a season of feeling like you're annoyed more often than not, or you're not sure what to do with those feelings.
So one thing we wanted to consider is just, hey, are we caring for our souls? Like, not necessarily like, are you getting a good bath after the kids go to bed or reading your favorite blogs or getting a girls' night out? I mean, we definitely think those things are nice and good and can be helpful at times, but we really ought to be regularly finding our soul's rest in the Lord. And that is going to help us when we come into these situations where our kids are acting childish or different things in our lives are annoying us. And so this is sometimes more proactive. It's making, you know, our time with him a priority and staying in the Word, keeping our Bible out on the counter so we can look at it throughout the day, or listening to an audio version of the Bible, listening to good music, you know, having a verse in your car, whatever those things are that can constantly remind us of the fact that, you know, God is God and we are not God and we live in his world and we're here to advance his kingdom. I know I always need that perspective reoriented.
Another good one is just to take a hard look at your schedule. I know that whenever I have too full of a schedule or I'm not dealing with stress the right way, I am often 1,000 more times likely to act on annoying behaviors or act out in that moment. And so is your schedule too full? Are you able to really slow down and deal with some of those unexpected kiddo needs in your life? Or is it just too jam-packed that like any inconvenience or any deviation really frustrates you? It can be a good thing to go through and identify pinch points. You know, are there days where your attitude is worse than others? I know the witching hour after school is often a hard time for a lot of families. You're not alone if that is true for you. So what can you do now to be proactive to change that? Maybe talk with your husband and see what he thinks, or talk with a friend and find some new strategies. I mean, those are really, really practical things, but can make a pretty big difference, I know, at least in my own attitude.
Right, which goes back to our hearts, speaking of our attitude. And I think that's something I have to ask myself when I find I'm in a situation where I'm constantly feeling annoyed. It's like, what rights do I functionally believe I have right now? Do I think I have a right to a quiet house? Do I think I have a right to finish my task list without anybody interfering? So how can I then speak truth specifically into those situations and remind myself of my role in the bigger kingdom and the things that I actually deserve, and then the way that Christ has given me what I don't deserve, which is favor? And that can quickly kind of, well, maybe not so quickly, but over the course of time, reorient our perspective rightly.
Yeah, and just make it a practice to stop and pray anytime that you are struggling with annoyance. And this can be as simple as just a short prayer of asking God to help you. Yeah. I know that sometimes I've actually just pulled my kids aside and asked for prayer, like right in front of them. And sometimes they're so shocked, the behavior stops immediately. And if anything, it's just been a great chance to have a reset and to share with the kids more vulnerably about my own sin and areas where I need God's help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we hope wherever you're at with this kind of feeling of annoyance today, whether you've been annoyed while you've been listening to this show because you have a kid in the background.
Hopefully not by us, though.
Yeah, hopefully not by us. So whether you're feeling annoyed right now or yesterday or you're going to face it later in the week, we just hope that you will turn to Christ. And Laura and I are preaching the same things to ourselves. Mm-hmm. So also a reminder, if you want to take a look at the Risen Motherhood book, you can find that at risenmotherhood.com/book. You can also find our show notes at our website and find us on social media this week at Risen Motherhood, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. I was being annoying.
I like gave Emily the weirdest look right there.
I was like, what was that?
Bye, guys.